So in this sermon this morning, I think we've got a picture, first picture for the sermon. It'll come up on the screen. We're looking at Moses and the faith of Moses, and considering how he needed to respond to God when God called him to be part of his great plan. There are other people that had gone before him. We might think of Noah having to build the ark when God said it was going to rain. We might think of Abraham, who went to the land of Canaan when God said to leave his country and go on this long journey. And they both responded in faith to be part of God's plan as well when he called their names. And we know Moses had a huge part to play in what God was doing in the world and with his people. And at the same time, we need to remember that Moses was not someone who had lots of self-belief. He was not very confident. He had lots of self-doubt. And that's often been an encouragement to myself as I've looked at the life of Moses and I've thought about the doubts that I've had in my own life and those moments when you feel God's calling you to do something, but you just don't feel up to the task. You wonder why he's choosing you. And that belief, however, that we need to have is not in our own ability to somehow succeed through our own strength. It's knowing that when God calls us to do something, that God will go with us, he'll go ahead of us. And it's his strength and his plan and his provision that we can rely upon. He will provide us with the words to say. He will provide us with the resources that we need. And there have been times in my life when I've really felt God has been leading me in a particular direction. And I've had to feel the fear of that and do it anyway. Even that there might be that thing inside of you that holds you back, that stops you from wanting to do it, that you feel scared about following what God says. But we have to remember who God is and continue. I've had those moments in my life when it's been a case of heart beating, hands shaking, legs wobbling, sleepless nights, eating lots of sugary food, praying that God will make things easier, but knowing that if I wanted to move forward, I would simply have to trust God and go through whatever experience that was coming up in front of me, whatever that happened to be, whether that was a church-related experience or whether that was something, you know, in the rest of my life, to simply trust that God would be with me and to trust in his character. And there have been times when I've walked into a situation where I knew that it was a particular fear-inducing situation, and I'd have to say to God, okay, God, shields up. Remembering actually that God is right there with us. That he's standing there with us. He goes before us. Imagining that he has his hand on our shoulder. And that's one of the things that I still should do, really. But certainly at one point it was helpful for me to, when I was standing up in a place like this, to know God is right here with me. And God wants me to speak his word. There's a picture, the next slide along, that I came across a few years ago. This picture of David and Goliath. And there's Goliath. He's looking down at David. He thinks he's got the victory in hand. But what Goliath cannot see is the mighty angel of the Lord with David on his side. But David believes that he is there, that God is with him. And it may seem, you know, away from what I'm doing at the front this morning in preaching, but there were certainly times in my life when I was younger, when if someone asked me to do the reading in church, I would spend all week worrying about it. I'd be really worried if I'd get the words wrong, worried about if I'd be able to get up there or to have to give the Bible to someone else. But God can change us on the inside. God can lead us into new things. He can help us when we trust in him to be able to walk forward and do the difficult things, trusting him one day at a time. And Moses had to do that. Moses wasn't a good speaker, and yet he had to go in front of who at the time was the most powerful man in the world, to go in front of Pharaoh. And he admits this in Exodus chapter 4. You know, our reading's from Exodus chapter 3 today, so we shouldn't just assume that God simply stating his intentions to Moses was enough for Moses. Moses had a conversation with God about what he was asking. Moses is really the classic example of a person who wants to know the details. He can't stop at just the vision. He wants to know exactly how everything's going to pan out. He's the yes, but what about man, and the yes, but what if man. And just as a side, it's not always bad to ask questions like that, because there's such a thing as being conscientious. There's such a thing as being wise and looking ahead. And Jesus even said in Luke chapter 14 that if someone wants to build a tower, don't they first estimate the cost and see if they're going to be able to do it? But at the same time, our forward-thinking abilities can go into overdrive, and we start to ask questions that we couldn't possibly know the answer to ourselves or find out. And we have to move into the realm of trusting God and his character. You know, you might think to yourself, is my car safe to drive? And the answer to that question might be, well, it passed the MOT and it's had a full servicing. And that should be enough for us, really, shouldn't it? But we might say, well, what if the mechanic missed something? Or what if something's happened to the car in between the garage and now? Or what about all the other drivers on the road? What are they going to be doing? But there simply comes a point when we have to trust what we know to be true. It's had an MOT and a full servicing, and we get in the car. Here are some of the questions that Moses asked of God before finally agreeing to do what he'd asked him. We just go on to the next slide for a moment. In Exodus 3:11, Moses said, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" In verse 13, Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to Pharaoh and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" Chapter 4, verse 1, Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow in speech and tongue." And by Exodus chapter 4, 13, he basically reveals what he wants to say. Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else." You can't get much clearer than that, can you? That's what he was kind of saying all along. He finally gets round to it. But God didn't send someone else. What God did was he sent Moses, but he gave him support and he gave him the resources that he needed to do this thing for him. He sent him with 3 miracles to perform in front of anyone who didn't believe him. He even told Moses his name, Yahweh, so that if people asked him who'd sent him, he would say. He also let Moses take his brother Aaron with him for moral support, for backup in practical things. So God doesn't let us off the hook when he calls us to do something, but he is gracious and he is merciful, and he will equip us for the task ahead and give us a means of support. One of the means of support that has helped me, I suppose, coming directly from God, is just a sense of God's presence. You know, there might be times when we're praying, "Lord, I want to feel your presence," and maybe we don't feel it so strongly, but there have been other times when I have felt his presence very strongly, and that's been a means of support from God. And then there are times when I've had supportive Christian friends, people who stand by you, people who can see God doing something and will encourage you along the way, people who will see the positive things that are happening when you yourself can't see those things. And that's why Christian fellowship is so important. That's why Moses' brother Aaron was so important, that he went with Moses. And God recognized that and allowed Moses to have that support. Like Noah and like Abraham, Moses could see when God was doing something. Noah trusted God that it would rain and he built the ark. Abraham trusted God that he had this land for him, that he was going to be a father of many nations, and so he followed God's call to go to Canaan. And Moses saw the burning bush, and rather than running from it or disregarding it, he went to take a look. It says in verse 3, "So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up.'" So he was interested. He felt that God was doing something and he wanted to go and see what was happening. It says, "When the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses said, 'Here I am.' 'Do not come any closer,' God said. 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground.' Then he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God." And then he said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Now this, what God is saying here to Moses, he effectively said to Abraham many, many years ago. He said to Abraham, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated there. And then he tells Abraham that they will be brought out, they will be rescued from this place, they will be taken to the land flowing with milk and honey. And this is what is happening here in the time of Moses, that God has been true to his word, he's been proved true to his promises, he's been true to his provision and his plan. So in this passage, we see the kind of faith that Moses needed to exercise in order to be part of God's great plan for the world. Like Noah, like Abraham, he had to take God at his word and trust him. He had to take God at his character and trust him as he moved forward. And like Noah and Abraham, Moses was ultimately proved right for trusting God. Because the people did escape Egypt. They escaped exactly how the Lord described. And that Exodus moment is often referred to as the pivotal salvation moment in the Old Testament. You often find references in the Bible after that of saying, remember the God who brought you out of Egypt, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Remember him, remember what he's done. And in the New Testament, we have the pivotal moment of the whole Bible, which is Jesus at the cross, the pivotal salvation moment. And today we can say, remember what God did in Jesus. He brought him back from the dead in resurrection life. So we go on to the last slide here. Three ways that we could bring out from this passage of how Moses had to trust God. Moses had to trust God's presence, that God was with him. He had to trust his plan, that this was all going to be as God had intended. This was going to be God answering prophecy. This is going to be God fulfilling his promises. And that he had to trust God's provision, that he would have the words to say, that he would have the resources that he needed to go and do something which he really did not believe he was going to be able to do based on his own strength and his own abilities. Why don't we take those three things and consider them for ourselves this morning? You know, you may not have a burning bush in front of you, a thing that just assures you of God's presence, as Moses had that assurance on that day. But all of us can approach our lives on a daily basis by saying to God, Lord, show me where your burning bush is today. Show me where you are doing things. Show me the things that you're blessing and help me to be a part of those things. Lord, show me where you are making your presence known today. And you may have felt guided in your life into different things, and you just sense that God's presence is there. God is leading you. God is guiding you. God is making himself known to you. I mean, we can say, can't we, God is everywhere. But I believe that there are times when he makes himself known to us. And we say, yes, Lord, I know that you're leading me through your presence and your reassurance right now. We can be like Moses. I will go and see this strange sight. I will go and see what God is doing in that place. Is there anything going on in your life at the moment where you feel that God is inviting you to explore further? Where you just get a sense that God is doing something, God is pinpointing something, and he's calling you to explore further. And Moses trusted God's plan. Some of us may doubt ourselves constantly, and sometimes that's actually good, because if you look in the Bible, it says, when we are weak, then God is strong. And from my own experience, I would say, trust in God's plan. I mean, my life may not be like yours, so your life may be longer or shorter than mine at the moment in this room, but certainly in the experiences that I've had, I would say, trust in God's plan, that he can change you on the inside and he can show you things in the outside world that will confirm your trust in him. As several children's songs have said over the years, it's an adventure following Jesus. God has a plan, and like Moses, he calls us to trust it. And God will provide as well. And God does provide, And God provided Moses with everything he needed, but there was still one vital thing. It's a relationship between God and Moses. And so Moses had to take the step of faith. And I suppose the message is that we have to trust in God's character so that when we take the step of faith, we believe in our hearts that he's going to respond to that. And there have been moments in my life when I thought, I just feel really dry at the moment, Lord. Why don't I sense you in my life? And the answer essentially has been, well, because you're not really doing anything that really requires you to trust me right now. There had been moments perhaps in the past where I'd stepped out and God had been there. And then you can meet a stopping point where perhaps things get comfortable. But then you have to ask God, where now? What are you doing now? And as you follow him, he'll be there to hold you and reveal himself to you and the resources he has for you. Where do you need to trust in God's supply right now? He has resources for all occasions, and in faith he calls us in all occasions to turn our face towards him, to seek his presence, his plan, and his provision in our lives. Let's pray together.